Well, right off the bat, the title of this sharing is called "This Doctor Truly Helped Me Get Healed." This doctor helped me get healed. Now, I, like you, can fulfill His will for us, and that is holding forth the wonderful word of life, giving that to others. First, let me say that when I was 16, 17 years old, I had a few brushes with losing my life with poor decisions. Many of you don't know this, and it's not something that I brag about or put out there, but it's true. But at the same time, I always kept one foot on the ground. I just felt in my heart and my bones that there was something I was destined to do. What? I had no idea. But yet, still, it kept me grounded, this feeling I had within. So, many of you know the story, but there's some details to it that I'm going to share. And that is the story of the motorcycle accident that I had back in 1983. This accident, they said, doctors then, that I wasn't going to make it through, that my life was probably going to end. But there's a young lady who helped me very much. Her name is Susan Sobolewski, is what her name was at the time. And word got to her about this accident that I had. So she gathered a group of believers, prayer warriors, if you will, and they came to see me at the hospital. I was in La La Land. And they came to my bedside and prayed fervently, without ceasing, day after day after day, knowing that there were going to be results. Also, just a side note, I had five specialists, each one in their own respective fields, that took care of me. They're trying to save my life. But the quarterback, if you will, the main doctor, was a neurosurgeon by the name of Dr. Ott. And I can remember, long past the accident, when I was on my feet again, I went to an appointment with a doctor, and on the coffee table there are these magazines, and I noticed one of them, the subtitle said, "Top 10 Neurosurgeons in the United States." And there's a few neurosurgeons in the United States. So to be in the top 10 says volumes about your professionalism. So I grabbed the magazine, and I remembered Dr. Otham said, "I wonder, just let me take a look." So I thumbed the magazine and got to the section, and lo and behold, Dr. Ott was one of the top 10 neurosurgeons in the United States. So it made me feel like, wow, that early knowledgeable person helped me out. Now, at the same time, coming up shortly after I had this accident and I was in the hospital, there was a class that was coming up, and I had an appointment. I had an appointment with the doctor. And this is not the same doctor as the one that was treating me in the hospital. And this doctor's name was Victor Paul Prebble. He ran classes. The first was called Power for Abundant Living. And this class was led by our dear Reverend Bob Linfeld over at San Diego State. 50 strong. Remember that, Bob?
Yeah.
But I was fighting every step of the way to avoid being in this better place. So I can remember instances when these believers, they were coming to the hospital and prayed for me. When I finally came to at my bedside praying, I don't know, I thought they were Jehovah's Witness. I didn't know. And I'm trying to shoo them away. Can't you see that I'm trying to live here? Didn't faze them. They kept on praying, steadfast. The next time they came, I said, "Oh, I'm in so much pain, I can't listen to your prayers or anything like that." But like I said, I was fighting every step of the way to avoid being in a better place. So my first experience of God helping me with my focus in this class was that I had a chest pain all the way just before the class started, and another believer came to my rescue by the name of Barbara. I remember her first name. And I told her, "You know what? I really want to take this class," because, again, at the hospital, Susan said, "Here, just sign this green card." I figured if I sign it, it'll go away. But they pursued, and they were under shepherding me. They wouldn't quit, which is a good thing. So I told this young lady at the first night of the class that I had this chest pain. I said, I can't focus in this class with this chest pain. It's too immense. Doctor gave me some meds. They're very strong. He said, take one a day, two at the very most if you still have this pain. Well, I just went up the weekend prior to the class to see my father up in San Pedro. And I took a pill when I was up there because the pain was immense. Well, when I came back to San Diego, the pain was still there. When I went to the class the first night, the pain was still there. So I let this lady named Barbara know about it, and she says, come with me. So we started walking down this hallway, and she started ministering to me. She started praying. I won't lie to you, in my mind, I was saying, okay, I'll just listen or whatever. But there was another part of my mind at the same time saying, you know what? She's not doing this to them, but she's doing this to get results. So I need to lock on to her believing with my believing. So we made a U-turn at the end of the hallway, and we came back to go in the classroom. The pain was still there. As soon as we stepped in the doorway, I had this huge hiccup, and I braced myself for the pain. And when the hiccup was over, guess what? Pain's gone. And right when that happened, inside I said, my heart, bigger than ever, said, thank you, Father. You must want me to be in this class. So that was one. My first experience where God was taking care of me. God had plans and a purpose for my life, which included a special companion and daughter of his to help me spread his word and to have as my wife, and that is Shanti. So it was another thing that unfolded throughout the years. He also put together an ever-growing family, all of you, that I was able to say, brothers and sisters, that I could be a part of. So now what? Was the question. So now what? I took this class, maybe started going to fellowship. Well, how about fulfilling one of his, God's commandments, and speak his wonderful, life-giving word so that others can come to know the Father and make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. So I was trying to get my ducks in a row, but I was still a young blood and all this, but still yet, my heart was definitely touched. You know, it was the evil one trying to snuff up my life. But Almighty God said, not today. This one I have plans and a purpose for his life, and he, Al, will soon see. So now I can speak the word of God with certainty. Why? Well, here's my list of reasons. So I would ask you to please go to Psalms 18:34. Bear with me as I get there. Psalms 18:34, I believe it is. And that's not the verse that I'm looking for. Well, we will skip that verse. I apologize. Let's go to Matthew 4:4. It's another one that's on my list and reasons why. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do we have to eat? Yes. Is eating the thing that gives us knowledge or spiritualism? No. It's God and his word. It's his love that directs our paths. And it's his counseling to our hearts that causes us to see life in a much higher way. Because the minute we try to figure out things on our own, we're in the soup. But you see, we go to fellowships. We open God's word. We hear from other believers to build up what God wants us to know so we are better prepared in this world that we live in. Whether we're dealing with an illness or we're dealing with people who are trying to hurt us in many different ways, like Barney shared yesterday. But you know what? We rise above it because of the love of God that lives in each and every one of us. Okay? We're not doing this going through the motions. We're doing this because it's real. We're doing this because we want to have something to confront these issues. And I'm not talking about being vindictive. I'm talking about being loving. There's been many opportunities in my life where I could have struck back, but I said, no. That's not who I am, you see. I know today that I'm not under the law here in this country. Okay? Because of those who came before me standing on the Word of God back when this whole country got started. You know, I have freedom of will today to speak His Word of truth with boldness. And so do you. And so do you. Don't hold back. People out there need to hear God's Word. So, the consequences that were a result of ones who live in those Bible records, such as Peter and John, from wanting to speak about Jesus Christ or on His behalf, were the threatening of their lives. But God shows us how He moved His hand for them and will for us today. People saw His power and were truly blessed back then. Let's look at the record where the council laid down their decision against Peter and John and the results. So if you can go to Acts chapter 4, we're going to pick this up in verse 6. Acts 4, 6. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So there's a powwow going on here. Jesus Christ was the main topic. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Speaking of the impotent man. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, not some of you, he says to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. God is in the business of raising people from the dead. He did with our Lord and Savior. I was almost there. He said, no. Not today. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than the name of heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hello! That's someone to be around. That's someone to gain some understanding. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The proof is in the pudding. The truth you make no excuses for. When you lie, yeah, you start reaching at, oh, it was because the truth stands alone. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They spread this word. People in Jerusalem heard about it, knew about it. These guys are saying, what are we up against here? Verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, okay, come back in the room, and command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you handle that one. Judge ye. That's on you. We know what we're going to do. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. And why wouldn't they? For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in, and all them that is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever they had and the council determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, that we can have today too, with all boldness, they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that can be done today, and more so, because the Holy Spirit is within us. It goes wherever we go. It sees situations that we see. God and Christ are with us, ready to have us act upon a situation. All we got to do is jump in with both feet. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, imagine this, imagine yourself, I don't know, at work or in the park, whatever, there's a bunch of people around you, and something comes up, and he says, let me pray, and this is what happens. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Wow. You know what people would probably say? Oh, we just had an earthquake. No. No, we had a Godquake. Wake up. And they were all filled, because of this, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Isn't that a wonderful record? You know, these things are in God's word because he wants us to see that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Back then, greater is he that was on them than he that was in the world. He even went up to the very Lord and Savior of ours and tempted him, as we all know. And what did Jesus Christ say? It is written. What do we say today? It is written. This word has not changed. Our God doesn't change. So the power that existed then is more so now, because like I said, our guns are loaded. We have God in Christ in us. We need to step out and put these things to use. You know, it's okay to learn and absorb the Word of God, but you got to put it to use. God wants us to. He tells us to. So let me close with this statement. Back in 1983, I believe that God moved his hand through the prayers of those at my bedside. And now I can fulfill his will for the rest of my life, speaking his wonderful and life-giving word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.